to come around God's word together. And Fiona, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us this morning. That was amazing. Thank you so, so much. We're going to read from Galatians chapter 5, our key passage for this series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And just a few wee verses this morning, verse 22 and 23. And it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there are no law." Let's pray. Father, as we come around your word this morning, we pray that we will not be those people who will look in the mirror and then forget a reflection, but we will be the people of God who will listen to your word and speak to your Holy Spirit about your word, and we will try to implement your word in our lives, that we will become the image of the Son, that we will be in touch with your discipleship program for us, that we become more like our Lord Jesus, and that we can be salt and light in this world. But we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness towards us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, you know our theme has been this morning and is faithfulness, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. I want to remind you that the word faithful in the Hebrew basically is this: firmness, stability, conscientiousness, fidelity, steadiness, certainty, that which is permanent, enduring, and steadfast. Do you know when we use that Old Testament biblical word amen, basically it comes from the same root, and we're saying it's firm and it is true. So when someone preaches the word or somebody ends a prayer and you hear somebody saying amen, we're saying it is firm, it is true, let it be. And that's what we're doing when we say amen. In the Greek, the word means faith, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity. There's a real sense of, with the word faithfulness, a real sense of loyalty. Now, we have been looking in this series that we, if we're going to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit birthed in our lives and growing in our lives, how we need to abide with the Holy Spirit. They're the fruit of the Spirit. They're not something that we can conjure up in ourselves. We have to work with the Holy Spirit to get the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. And we do so by abiding. How do you abide? Well, we basically spend time with Him in His presence. We spend time through the Word of God. We spend time talking to the Lord. We spend time in surrendering to His will and to His way for our lives. And during this week's season, we have sort of come a few times in this study, and we have looked at the fruit of the Holy Spirit with these directions. We've looked to see how we can, when we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are showing that we are in true relationship with God. We are showing that we represent God. And thirdly, we're showing that there is a reformation within us to become like the Lord Jesus as well. And I want to take that pattern this morning as well as we come to study this word faithfulness. Basically, we know faithfulness, as we read in Psalm 111 this morning, as we came round the Lord's table this morning in Lamentations, we know that our God is faithful. For those of you, you know, we celebrated our brother's 40 years in salvation this morning. Many of you are sitting here, and some of you have been saved a few years. You've heard and our sister's testimony this morning, 4 years. We have a 40-year-old in faith today. And I'm sure each one of us can declare the faithfulness of God, that He's never let us down, that He's always been there. And we've seen that throughout the Bible. We look at His walk with His people Israel. He was so faithful to them, even when they were faithless. We see even as they come out of captivity and they went to the promised land so many times, and yet we know there was a conversation that the Lord had with Moses where he had enough of their moaning and their griping and everything else, but yet because of Moses' plea, we see that the presence of God remained, and He remained faithful to the people of Israel. We see that our God was faithful for the very beginning for us. I love the fact that God, in the cool of the day, walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. From the very beginning, He had a heart to walk with us, to be our friend. And we know there's nothing more precious than the friendship with God, a loyal friend that we have in our God. But even when Adam and Eve failed and sin came into our world, he promised a redeemer. He promised someone would come to bring us back into relationship with himself. And he did that through his son, the Lord Jesus. We're coming up very soon to celebrate Jesus' birth. And we are so thankful that Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, came into this world to redeem man back into that faithful relationship with Father God. Our God is faithful. Faithfulness represents that we have a true relationship with God. Faithfulness characterizes God's loyalty to a covenant people, to us, a divine requirement pressing upon us. You know, we know God loved us, and that's why we love him. Isn't that right? Because he loved us, first of all, we love him. But you know, God didn't create us in such a form that we were like robots and that we were created in such a way that we would automatically love him. Just like within our relationships, we don't want people to love us just for what we do for them, but we want people to love us just because we're us. And our Father God wants us to love him just because he is him. And you know, it's the same with faithfulness. He didn't make us automatically faithful, but he wants us to mirror that faithfulness that he shows to us, that we are as loyal to him as he is towards us. And we start to learn that loyalty, that faithfulness, I believe, through the precious word of God. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says this: "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful God, keeping his covenant love to 1,000 generations and for those who love him and keep his commands." You see, if you want to learn faithfulness, you've got to know what the Lord says. You have got to know what the Lord expects of you. You've got to know how the Lord is and what he is like, that we can mirror that and work with the Holy Spirit to be more like him. And we need to be faithful to the word. That's why, church, we do the studies we do. That's why we encourage you to belong to a life group. That's why we focus so much on the word of God here at East Point, because that's how we learn to be more like Jesus, is by being faithful to the word of God and to be faithful in our talking with him. Do you know, for all of you that are sitting in this room that are in love with someone in your life, that love your children, your relationship based on non-communication wouldn't be that great, sure it wouldn't. We have to talk to one another, share our hearts with each other, to let each other know where we're at and how we're feeling, that we can help one another and walk with comfort with each other as well. And you know, the Father wants to know your heart. But you know, friends, we could simply say, but sure, he knows every thought even before time. Why bother praying? But we still need to hear each other's voices, don't we? And the Father delights in your voice. He created your voice. And he wants to hear your heart. He wants to know that you trust him with every situation in your life. I still see my boys when they were small coming with a broken toy and saying, "Daddy, will you fix that?" And I'm looking at them thinking, "You have more faith in me, son, than I have in myself." But the delight that when my boys were young, they knew Daddy could fix it. And you know, church, this morning, when you're faithful in prayer, you're saying, "Father God, I know you can fix it. I know you can put it right. I know you can see me through." Be faithful, because he's talking to us through his word. Let's respond to him and talk to him as well. You know, we know the wee old saying, 1 week without prayer makes 1 week, or 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And it's W-E-A-K. When we don't pray and we don't talk to the Father, there's a weakening within us. When we don't come together to pray, whether it be at the moment on Zoom or we come on a Wednesday night, friends, faithfulness to pray to our Father about the things that concern us, do us good. It's the boiler house of the church when we come and be faithful to pray. And then, friends, we need to be loyal in our faith. Loyal in our faith. Do you know, Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you want to please your Father today, you have to have faith. You have to keep the faith. You have to be inspired in your faith, because that's going to please the Father's heart. And what a day to develop your faith. What a season to develop your faith just now. Come with me to Hebrews 10 and 32 and 39. And I want to read this set over 2,000 years ago. And I want to bring it up to date to maybe where we are today. And it says this: remember the early days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Has this not been a season of suffering? Has this not been an odd season? A time when we've been, you know, denied things. It goes on here to say, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of property because you knew that yourselves had a better and a lasting possession. There's been things that we've lost in this period. We've lost 8 months of regular life. We've lost 8 months of fellowship, being in person together. We've lost so much in this season. Maybe, you know, business stuff. We've lost maybe hours at work. We've lost the right to go here, there, to do what we would normally do with not even thinking about it. But here we see that these people, 2,000 years ago, the encouragement to them was this: but do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. I think this has been a season. Sometimes we haven't known where we are or what we've been doing. We've been so out of sort that sometimes we've lost even our focus in life. But this is not a time for us to lose our faith. This is the time to press in with our faith and not to lose our confidence. Verse 36 says, you need to persevere so that you, when you've done the will of God, you receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming and will not delay, and but my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those that shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are being saved. You gotta have faith. You've gotta keep the faith. You have to keep imparting to yourself the word of God to inspire you in your faith. Even in these difficult days, you have to do it. You know, Hebrews 11 talks about Noah. And how that Noah, you know, I'm going to read it there, 11 and 7, it says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. But his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, that is, in keeping his faith. I just love Noah's story. Can you imagine Noah building this massive boat? We call it a boat, an ark. It was a liner. It was absolutely massive. And his evangelism strategy wasn't going that far. He was building something, hoping the people would join him in the ark and would be saved from the flood. And it was only his eight of them, their family, went into the ark. It was only their bubble. And they lived with all those animals. Now, I know some of us through lockdown would rather live in a household of animals than maybe with our family, if we were being truthful at times. But here Noah was on that. And in no time did he jump ship. He stuck with it in the faith, believing, even though the people that he wanted to come with them and join in that season for 150 days, 5 months, he was in isolation in the middle of water, but he kept going in the process because he knew in the midst of that isolation that God was going to do something new at the end. That something was going, God would do something good and restore because of his faithful promise. Do you know, I was thinking, and the guys had it on this morning when I came in, thinking about that song during the week and sort of humming it to myself and singing to myself, Waymaker, you know, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, that is who you are. But then it goes on to say this, even when I don't see it, don't say that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you've never stopped. You've never stopped working. And you know, in this season of this last 8 months, I'm sure there are been times you've been saying to God, God, what are you doing? We can't get out even to do the stuff we would want to do for the kingdom. We can't even be together as church as a part of the kingdom. Lord, what could you possibly be doing? God is faithful. And as we've tried to inspire you over these last few weeks on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, God has not closed the door to your discipleship. I pray at the end of this season, because we keep the faith, because we keep going, that we do not lose our confidence, but we keep pressing in by faith, that at the end of this, we're going to come out stronger and better followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We want to do this. Because that's what God wants us to do, to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to come through the Word. He wants us to come through prayer. And He wants us to hold on in faith that we still believe that God has got a plan for us, that He's got a plan for our church, and God will accomplish it. You know, I think back to, I think it was either the end of last year or the beginning of the new year, and we met together as an eldership and a directorship, and we were looking at some statistics of growth, and we were looking and thinking, after all that we've come through as a young church and a new church, you know, this is good. God is good. Things are happening. I started this year thinking 2020 is going to be such a great year for East Point. And you know, church, it hasn't ended yet. And if we do come through this as stronger believers, I think it will be worth it all. But here's the whole thing about faith and action. 11 verse 1. Now faith is confidence in that we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. Friends, have you still that hope and that confidence that God is still at work in your life and that He's going to see you through? Keep that confidence. Have you the hope that God is still going to accomplish all that He's wanting to accomplish through East Point Church, that we're going to be a light to this city, that people's lives will be changed, that we will touch lives, and we will see men and women, boys and girls remember our purposes, the presence of God for people, that we would see men and women, boys and girls saved? It has been a difficult season for it, but we're praying that still God will, we will come out of this and be more effective by being representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this, church, to be in true relationship with God. So let's keep the faith. The second thing this morning is this: for true representation of God. Isn't it good when people recognize that we are people of faith? One of our sisters shared a thing just on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, how a lady came up there in the shop and just said, "Will you pray for me and my family?" I asked Anne, "Did the woman ever meet you before or know you before?" I think she says, "No." But obviously the Holy Spirit directed this lady to Diane. I believe that God needs to shine out of all of us. And we want to represent, and the people would say and know, you're a man, you're a woman of God, you're a person of faith. And we represent our God when we live in faithful loyalty to Him. And a part of that loyalty is worship. And I know we would love to be singing in church just now, but you know, our worship is much more than song. It's those declarations that we make with our mouths. It's lifting up our holy hands. But it is, friends, as well, that we live in such a lifestyle that we do everything we do to the glory of God. You know, even listening today to Fiona's story, how she spent that extra time with those old ladies and men when they're in those wards and they haven't had those visits, and she was able to minister to them a wee bit of extra love. That's taking a cup of cold water in His name. Glorify God in everything. That is our worship. That everything that we do to the best of our ability to bring glory to our God. Man's chief aim is to glory God, isn't it? To glorify God. That we want to glorify Him in all that we say and all that we do, and how we do everything in our lives, in home, in business, and in friendship. We're faithful in our giving to God. God has given us so much and has been faithful and looking after us. And can I say, church, you have been so faithful in your giving in this season. It would be so easy not to, but you have been so faithful in your giving, and that glorifies the heart of God. Being faithful in fellowship. Hosea 2, 19 and 20 says this: "I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. And you will acknowledge the Lord." Betrothed, you don't hear that word that often, sure you don't? Or that word that much that often, should I say? It used to be a word that we would have used in relationship of marriage. I am betrothed to someone. Promise that I make my promises to you to be faithful and to be loyal. And here God is saying to us, I will be loyal to you. I will love you. I will show you righteousness. I will be just. I will show you compassion. I will be faithful to you. And in true representation to God, friends, today, are we known as a faithful friend? Are we known as a faithful brother and sister in the house of God? Have we got to that place, and I hope we are at East Point, that we said this is where we've thrown our lot in, and we are faithful to our brothers and sisters in the house of God, that we love them, that we care for them, that we're going to stand by them through thick and thin, that we will be here for them. Do you know, this ties in with our next verse of scripture, and but before I read it, I'll read it now, and Hebrews 10 and 25, it talks about being faithful as the days grow to an end, that we are faithful to the house as well. And it's not about just coming to church. It's coming to be together. Whether you're doing that today online, and we're so glad you've joined us, and we know that not everybody can be here today. We're limited in numbers, and not everybody's well enough or needs to be careful and can't be here. But as we are joining in online, or we're joining in physically here today, we're making a commitment to one another to be faithful to each other. And I believe as our world looks in and sees us clinging together, coming together, keeping the focus of our church together, loving on one another, that they will see that we are his disciples. I looked at some information that was based in the States, couldn't see some for the UK, but do you know, a Barna survey in the States has just said that over this period of time, 1 in 3 Christians have not gone back to church, or no plans to go back to church. 48%, this was back in May, had not watched when there was the real big lockdown, had not even watched any online services whatsoever. 40% of the church had not watched their own service, but had watched other services. My friends, I don't have a problem. We've done it too. Everybody, you know, watching some other stuff to feed us and encourage us. That's good. That's sensible. But can I also say this, church? We need to be faithful to where God has planted it as well. And here's what happens when we don't keep linked in to what our own church is. We become disconnected. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to disconnect us from the family of God. He wants to make us be discontent. We need to follow what the church, our local church, is doing, because every pastor worth their salt is trying to get their people to go on in that discipleship program. Don't lose what your own church is doing. Keep connected, because at the end of this, we need to get back in it and do all that God called us to be and do together. Let me read Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place of by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And this is a day to continue to encourage each other to keep going on with God, not giving up meeting together. And whether that be in person or online, so that some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Church, we have to say, and you've heard me say it so many times, we are closer to that day than anybody else in history. So if there was ever a day to keep coming to the house, if there was ever a day to keep plugged in, whether online or in person, this is the day to stay close to the family of God, that we're not going to be a people who are going to shrink back. It's not an awful statistic in America. 1 in 3 people not planning to go back to church, and yet the Lord loves his bride. And if we're going to be representative of him, we need to love the church as much as he loves them. And if he loves us and is faithful towards us, how we need to be loving our local fellowship, loving the local church, celebrating still the local church with all the restraints that we have. It's our home. Loving it with all that is in us for the glory of God. And we need to be faithful in our evangelism. This has been I love outreach, and this has been a difficult period, because we were just saying the other Wednesday night, some of the things that we would love to have done and over this period, well, other people had covered. I personally think we're coming into another period where, as church, we are going to be needed. I would love you to come on Wednesday night. Love to share some things that we're going to do in this season, running up to Christmas, as outreach. And as long as things don't change again, we hope to try and reach again into the community with some ideas that we have. And to support that, by the way, I believe there's some wee gifts in the hallway there this morning that you can buy to help with outreach into our community this coming season. So come on Wednesday night and be faithful to prayer, to pray for this incoming season. And we're going to share these things that we're going to do, that we can still share the good news in these days. But if we were faithful during this period, over these last months, friends, each of us, we may not have been able to be together collectively to go out and do outreach, but as scattered saints, each one of us, rubbing shoulders or elbows 2 meters away, could still reach people. We found that even in our neighborhood, we were able to do wee bits and pieces for our neighbors in the hope that they would see Jesus in us. I hope you were able to do the same, or in your workplace, or reaching out and visitation to people that needed something. And I know we've heard so many great stories. As scattered saints, we can still be reaching out. And in this next period, we pray that we can do it. And by doing that, sharing the good news, we are representing Jesus to our world. Here's our third and final thought this morning. For true reformation for God. Will you come and read with me a parable, Luke chapter 19, verses 20 or 12 to 26, and it says this. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for his servants to whom he had given money in order to find out what they had gained with it. And the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take care or charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take care, charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words. You wicked servant, you knew, did you, that I was a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put the money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take this mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he has already got 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Church, God expects change. I hope you see what I'm doing there. God expects change. But God expects change in us. For what God puts in, he wants a yield. And God has put so much within us, and he wants to see fruit yielded within us. He wants to see a change in our heart. He wants to see a change in our heart towards him and towards other people, a heart of love, a heart of tenderness, a heart of compassion, that we represent his heart to this world. He wants to see a change in our mind and our thinking, that we have the mind of Christ, that we start thinking the Jesus way, that we start thinking how Jesus would think in circumstances, that we don't react in the flesh, but we think, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And we start to change in his way. He wants to see change in our natural gifting and the spiritual giftings that he has given us, that he can see fruit from those things as we use our giftings for the glory and the honor of God. He wants us to be faithful in servants so that we become more and more like Jesus, that there's a reformation in our character to be more like him who's called us. Faithfulness isn't required of us to sustain God's favor and covenant love towards us. That is guaranteed. But if nothing else, it is the best thing that we can do to show that we appreciate his loyalty to us is by being loyal to him and to his people and his purposes. That we are a loyal people. It's the only appropriate action that we become those loyal people. I want to give our final words this morning to Barnum's commentary, and he says this: the word here may be used in the sense of fidelity, and may denote that a Christian will be a faithful man, a man faithful to his word and promises, a man who can be trusted and confided in. Are you that man or woman? Can you be trusted when you say you're going to do something and you're going to commit it, that you follow it through? The people know when they tell you something that they can have your confidence, that when you promise you will do it, that you will do it. It is probable that the word is used in this sense because the object of the apostle was not to speak of the feelings that they have towards God so much as to illustrate the influence of the Spirit in directing and controlling our feelings towards people. Are you faithful to your brother and sister? When we've committed to one another to be a family and walk together, are we faithful in our commitment to each other? Remember back to Hebrews about not giving up meeting together, but the purpose of the faithfulness is that we're here together to encourage each other on, to spur each other on, to try and help one another. You know, it's great when we can come alongside and we say, it happened to me last Sunday. Struggling a wee bit, then somebody just came up beside me and put their arm around me and started to pray over me. We can't do that when we're not together, sure we can't. How we need to stand with each other and be with each other. When you see somebody coming into church and you know they're not in a good place, is to say you'll pray for them and you'll love them and you'll stand. Let's encourage each other on. Be devoted to one another as God is devoted and is faithful to us. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. How do we become those faithful, loyal people? By spending more time with the one who is faithful to us and mirroring his faithfulness to those around about us. Friends, we work with the Holy Spirit on this fruit in our lives because we want to show people that we are in relationship with God. We work with the Holy Spirit with this fruit in our lives because we want to represent God's faithfulness to this world by being faithful to those that God has called us to. And we want to be faithful in this world and to our God because he's given us the ability of his Holy Spirit to be changed, to be like him. And as he is loyal to us, let us be loyal to him and his people as we walk together. Amen. Father, we thank you for your most precious word this morning. And Lord, teach us, Holy Spirit, guide us to be faithful. Lord, I just pray, and it's just come to mind for those this morning that feel hurt because maybe they have lost trust with someone or someone's let them down. But I pray today that, Lord, they will glory in the fact that you have never let them down. And Lord, even in the most negative situations in our lives, you always look to bring good. And may that good be that although we may have felt let down or deserted, that, Lord, we become more like you and become more faithful to those around about us. Lord, will you minister heart to heart this morning? And as we yield ourselves to you, to submit ourselves to you, to become more faithful, but may we rejoice this morning in you, our faithful friend, who makes the difference, who keeps us going, who keeps us hoping, who keeps us pressing in and pressing on. Lord, thank you for your friendship and your most holy word. Bless those that are here and those online today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.